introducing our special speaker today. This is Sarah Newton, and probably, I don't think you know very many people here. We were talking earlier, a few people. I first got to meet Sarah when I moved to Cambridge. I was invited into a ladies' Bible study, and this probably is like, I don't know, yeah, probably 8 years ago, something like that. And so Sarah and her sister, cousin, Rachel, invited me to join their Bible study, and it was a great group of ladies. The memory I have the most is that we had, Sarah's reminding me of this when she came in, we had a princess party at Lakeside, and so you have these, you know, 20-some-year-old ladies, some older, at Lakeside in prom dresses. So we all showed up in prom dresses, July, I think it was
the hottest.
It was so hot. And so here we are having our princess party. So anyways, that's one of my memories of Sarah. But she is the assistant principal at the Cambridge Christian School, graduated from Bethel University with a teaching degree. She taught biology at St. Louis Park High School, and last year just completed her master's degree from Bethel. Congratulations. She is, now this is from Pastor Mark, a voracious volleyball player. Was instrumental in the Nature Center on Lakeside's property, which includes pathways leading to the prayer cabins, and is the daughter of Stephen Laura Newton and has a sister, Joy. She is creative, hilarious, and loves the Lord fiercely.
Oh, wow.
Pastor Mark. But would you join me in welcoming Sarah Newton?
I can tell that your pastor raided my Facebook profile. I actually have... just growing up in this community, really love River of Life Church, and I remember going to Vacation Bible School at River of Life when I was like 10. Or do you need more too? Oops.
Nope, we're good.
You're good. Okay. And the back of the outline is blank in case I get boring and you want to draw pictures or pass notes or whatever. But I went to a VBS at River of Life when I was probably 10 years old. I actually met your pastor. My parents just sent my sister and I off on a missions trip when we were 13 to Mexico, which was terrifying, but Mark and Connie were actually our group leaders, and that's how I first met your pastor, and he kept us in line in Monterey, Mexico, while we were out running around doing everything we did down there. And I should say, because I think, Brian, it's good to just get this out in the open, my neighbors are pretty sure that I have serious legal issues, criminal activity, because when Brian, in his previous occupation, often drove his patrol car into my driveway and set off the sirens, and this is not just one time this has happened, and all my neighbors, especially the ones across the street, come running out like, what is she doing now? And anyway.
Keeping you in line.
Yes. Best cheesecake I've ever had, though, by Brian, too. So, anyway, I just really am so excited to be here and to be here with you all. I have, in the story of my life, been, I spent the first few decades of my life being a fearful girl, completely trapped and owned by fear. And in the last few years, and especially, I think I was born into a Christian family, and I remember praying for salvation when I was 4, maybe, but I thought it was a 24-hour thing, so I would pray every morning for to be saved, because somehow it seemed like it wore off or something. Maybe that's because I was naughty the rest of the day and whatever. But in kind of that point in my life where I actually decided to maybe own my faith a bit more, God set me off on a journey of really walking out of fear, and as he drew me forth and is continuing to draw me forth into being more of who he's made me to be. And it's the powerful message of the cross. But fear has somewhat become an issue. It comes up again every now and then because, goodness, if any of us are awake in the world, there are things that cause us fear. Well, a particular fear that has stayed with me, besides the fact that God has drawn me out of a lot of the ownership of fear, there's one fear that has stayed with me. But I think, to me, it's a fear that makes sense, and that is the fear of mice. And if you, maybe you're similar, some people aren't afraid of mice as much, spiders or whatever, but mice make me go to the crazy place of fear. And I wish I could say this was when I was much, much younger, but this was actually only 6 months ago that this happened. I got up in the morning and I went into the bathroom to put my contacts in and start getting ready, and I saw something move out of the corner of my one contact eye, because the other one doesn't see anything without it. So I saw a movement. So I waited, because maybe it was just a shadow or something like that. But no, I saw the movement again, and I'm a rather, you know, tall body, but with ninja-like skill, I dove into the bathtub that's in my bathroom. It's a pedestal tub, and that's kind of a feat to do that. And I jumped into the tub, and then I proceeded to watch this little thing run around, victimizing my home and me. I managed to shimmy out to putting my hand on my toilet to reach for my cell phone, because I'm kind of one of those people where my cell phone goes wherever I'm going. So it was in there with me, and I grabbed the phone and I dialed what I call Daddy 911. I called my dad. And he answers usually pretty much right away, because anytime I call him, he knows it's usually going to be something desperate. And I didn't even have words at that point. He just heard shrieks and screams in the phone. And he just said, "I'll be right over." So he just knows that that's what's going to happen. So he did, in fact, come right over. And within about 2 to 3 minutes, he was in my home. And there I was standing, this is my bathtub, but today this is going to be my bathtub. This is a clothes box. He walked into the bathroom, and there I was, completely convinced that I was content to spend the rest of my entire existence in this bathtub. I had no need to ever get out of this bathtub ever again, never mind the fact that it appears to be true that mice don't just stay on the ground, which I just don't even want to go there for what that means, but they can scale walls, and certainly a pedestal bathtub is nothing to the evil realm of mouse. So there I was standing in the bathtub while my dad proceeded to chase the thing around. He got it. He always brings these cans of this foam stuff that grows in size when you spray it. It's like a new amazing invention. And he was, he filled in this hole and whatever. And I stayed in the bathtub screaming my head off the entire time. Finally, he got done doing whatever he was doing, because I didn't want to know, except that it was going to solve the problem. And he came into the bathroom and asked if I was interested in getting out of the bathtub. No. And it was honestly one of those moments where I thought to myself, I don't really need to do that, though. This is a good place to stay. I'm safe here. I could stay here for the rest of my life. What was odd, and it has become very symbolic for me, the moment, how much fear has in my past and can, for all of us, keep us living in boxes, keep us living in small spaces that make us feel safe and secure. Never mind that the good Father, and I'm a child of the good Father, is out there moving with the beat of his heartbeat for others, and I would be content because of fear to stay in the bathtub, to stay stuck in a box. Those pesky mice and life in a box. So fear, for me, is something that makes me utterly forget who I really am and who my good Father is, and I'm robbed of that sense, and then I'm content to stay living in the boxes, missing what he's doing. So I react out of fear instead of responding in accordance with who I am as a child of the good Father. Well, so I was praying, what should I say at River of Life this morning? And I heard two things. Remember, you are children of the very good Father, and do not fear. Those are the two things I kept hearing. Remember, you are children of the really good Father, and do not fear. And so then I stumbled on this verse, and I wrote it, I have it on your outline, but it's Romans 8, 14 through 17, and it says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship." I think sonship is such a powerful thing that we're just beginning to see what that could mean. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. For me, I know what it is to be a slave to fear. And I find it so interesting for those of us who we start out not being in God's kingdom and we're slaves to something that's just terrible. We're slaves to sin and death. And because of the cross, we can be set free. But I find it so interesting how some of us in our faith, we don't necessarily, either we didn't understand in the beginning or we, because of fear, maybe come back. We just trade slave owners. We just trade masters. And so we may not any longer be a slave to sin and death, but because we have this picture of God as that angry, distant God who's just waiting to punish or to whatever, we choose a slavery of a different sort, and we live trapped under the boot of legalism or whatever that would be, and it's certainly not the Father's heart. Well, there are two questions that are classically human questions. We always are asking, whether we are saved or not, who is God, and who am I because of that? When you think of how people answer that, if we answer who is God, there is no God, then who am I because of that? I am God. We answer these questions this way. If it is true, who is God? God is that angry, very punishing, shameful God. Who am I because of that? We can live out a story that's a very sad agreement with that answer to the first question. But what this passage brings us to is that the work of the cross didn't stop with salvation. The cross is also a gate to something more, to a fuller something with God. And I think it comes in this verse that you and I, because of Christ, are adopted and invited into sonship. And by him, by Christ, we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, that is such a special thing, and I find it so sad sometimes how many of our brothers and sisters in Christ don't know Abba, Father. Their question of who is God, and then subsequently their defining of who they are is so small, and it is often a life in a tub, a life in a box. But that first question, who is God? He is Abba, Father. And I love that Paul used both words there. Father, we understand that, and we see that. Father is this picture of great authority. It's that picture of, there's a position that's offered there. That's my Father. I'm his child. And we have that position of that authority covering in our life, that protection that is there. But Jesus, I love, he ushers us into the other part of the experience of a father, and that's Abba. And Abba literally means dad or daddy. And so through Christ, we are ushered into, and through the work of the cross, through the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are invited to walk through a gate into a deeper sense of identity that you and I know God as daddy, father, which is that authority, that position, that protection, and what daddy means, that nurturing, that relationship, that care. And you and I get to have that first question answered that way. And because of that, you and I get to move from believer, from follower, from sinner saved by grace. We get to move into daughter. We get to move into son of the very good daddy, father, Abba, father. And Jesus shows us this over and over again in the days that he walked on the earth. He tells us the story of the father of the prodigal son. What a beautiful picture of father who's waiting at the top of the driveway for his child and runs to his child. Daddy, father, that we could know him that way, Daddy, Father. And I love that picture that a book by Brennan Manning said that that moment where the prodigal's father meets him and grabs him and hugs him, he says that the terminology there actually is, and he kissed him and he couldn't stop kissing him because his son had returned. The heart of a father. We see when he talks about what father, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone. We see him giving us this picture of the father who has a good heart and wants to give good gifts. And one of my favorites, the Lord's Prayer, where he invites us into praying, Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come. Because the implications of answering that question, who is God, he is Daddy, Father, are huge. It's how the Father's heart beats for you and me also. And he always has more. Just when we think we understand this whole Father thing with God, he shows us that there's so much more, and he draws us forward. We find that when you and I step into sonship, that word that is listed in that passage, where you and I actually get to live out a reality of a relationship with the Abba Father, of being sons and daughters. You and I get to experience something along the lines of what Jesus did when the Holy Spirit came on him and when he first was released in ministry. You know, that beautiful scene where God says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. The Message version of that says, this is my son marked by my love, the delight of my heart. And that Jesus would say that you and I get to know God more than just conceptually and more than just these doctrinal truths that we have, but that you and I get to step into a relationship with the Abba Father, where you and I have the truest thing in our heart, that sense, you are marked by my love, the delight of my heart. And so he moves us into something. In the Lord's Prayer, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done. When you and I agree and begin that journey of agreeing with who God is as the Abba Father, we begin to change in the core of who we are. How we see the world changes. How we see ourselves change. You and I become the kids of the good dad who have the privileges and responsibilities of bringing his kingdom. And I say the privileges and the responsibilities of bringing his kingdom because joining in kingdom life and bringing kingdom life, there's nothing better in the whole world than being in that program. It's hard work, but it's good work. It's God's work. And so we see him inviting us into the privileges and the responsibilities of bringing his kingdom. And so in us and through us and with us, he brings kingdom life. He wants to bring kingdom life. And so individually, he's going to set us free from all the things, all of the boxes and bathtubs we're sitting in, when he would like us to be out roaming the land with him, where his heart beats, we get to go there. He draws us into holiness, but, and oh my goodness, I've seen wonderful, wonderful mothers and fathers with their children, and I've it's rare for me to see a parent that's only concerned about the behavior of their kids. Behave, 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 behave. There is that. But I love to see the fathers and the mothers. But I love to see the fathers that see something of who their child is made to be, and then they draw them forth. They usher them into becoming. That is the heart of our Abba Father as well. It was his greatest delight. One of his very best days was the day he made you. And I say that for all of us. And he knit you together. And he knew the struggles that you would have and knew that his way was the way to your freedom. But it didn't stop there. He also knew the strengths and the gifts and the dreams that you would want to dream. And that with him, he wanted to be a part of calling that forth in you. Because in you and his work in you, you would, because of him, be able to bring kingdom life. Bear the privilege and the responsibilities of his kingdom. And I love the last one under that section in sonship, because the last part of this verse in Romans, not only does he stop there, then he says we're heirs and we're co-heirs with Christ. You and I wake up every morning in a different kingdom, not the lesser kingdoms that we're aware of and the lesser kingdoms that often really rock our boats and scare us a little bit by what happens in the world around us. But you and I can wake up in the reality of his kingdom, being his sons and daughters, with the privileges of bringing life today from that kingdom and having access to all of the resources of heaven. Amazing. Having access to all the resources of heaven. We sometimes are so concerned about the gates of hell that we forget about the gates of heaven, the open gates of heaven, and all the resources that are available for us because of him and with him in bringing kingdom life, bringing our good Father's kingdom life. With all the talk about the economy, I am always reminding myself that I live in God's economy. Really, that's my first economy, God's economy. And hopefully he can work out some things, Brian, for this economy. But we will live in the reality of God's economy. And so what I wanted to bring for us today is just the notion that the Father always has more. And just when we think that we've tasted so much of his goodness, there can't possibly be more. There's more. And he has more freedom to give us. He has more calling forth to lead us into. You're never old in God's kingdom. We're all his children. And whether you are the 3-year-old child or the very wise 95-year-old child, he always has more and more to call us forth and more to equip us in bringing his ministry of restoration to the world. Because it's the children of the Abba Father with him and allowing him to work in us and through us that we change the world. When God looks at the world around us, I don't think he's having the depression reaction that many of us have when we turn on the news. His eyes look at the world, and I would imagine he has sorrow, but he sees opportunity and he sees potential. And he wants to awaken in us that sense that you and I still have a ministry of restoration in the world around us. You and I still have the opportunity to know more of him as Abba Father and bring more of his great gifts to the world around us. We have brothers and sisters who don't know their brothers and sisters yet. We have brothers and sisters in the world who don't know that they're sons and daughters of the very, very good Father. And they need to be awakened. And God needs you and I to be awakened more and more so that we can be better equipped to go find them and bring them home. Well, I wanted us to just stop at the end. I like to take moments out at Lakeside, too, where when we hear some kind of a message, to just take a moment to sit in a quiet place, in a resting place, and just interact with the Father in that. So I have Nathan having a worship song for us to sit in. But what I'd like you to do, whatever the circumstance is, perhaps there is a sorrow that's being experienced right now. Or maybe there's that daring to step into a dream. Maybe there's a sense of something individual. Maybe there's a sense of something out there. But certainly the Father wants you and I each today to have an encounter with him, to sit for a moment in what would it really be like today if I could agree that I walk into this day as a daughter or a son of the good Father? And what could this day look like? What could that situation look like? What courage could I step into? What strength is he calling me forth into? What freedom is he offering for me? And so if it's okay, you can close your eyes so you don't have to look around. But just to sit and in that moment say, Father, I want to agree that you are my Abba Father. What does that look like for today, for this moment? What is it that's standing in the way? Am I standing in a bathtub while you're wandering around out there doing your purposes? Am I standing in a box and I need that box for security and safety when you offer me an invitation out. And so we're going to just sit in this song, and I'm just going to pray that the Holy Spirit would be just released and that you would feel free to interact with the good Abba Father for just 3 minutes. And hopefully in that he can speak sweet things to you and give you pictures of what's next with his kingdom call in your life. Go ahead.
You dance over me while I am unaware. You sing all around, but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by
verses on the outline. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That is what we are. And the last one. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. So if I could just close with a prayer for us all, because wherever all of his children are meeting today and all over the world, he has so much more for us, so much more. And we get to have the privilege of walking into more of that with him. So let's pray. Well, Father, first of all, we're just so thankful for who you are, because by that, you show us who we are. And who you are is the great Abba Father. It was not good enough for you that we would be let to sit in slavery to sin and death, to sit in slavery to fear. You sent your Son to save us. And I'm just so thankful, Father, that for that gift of salvation and for that freedom that you offer us, and that it also means that you want to restore us to the first thing. And that was that you made us for love, to be loved and to love, to walk with you and rule. And so, Lord, I just pray for each of the people here. I pray for a greater sense of that answer to the first question, who are you, God? That you are Abba, Father, that you are the authority that covers and protects us, and you are the dad who calls us forth into who you've made us to be. And I thank you that the realities of your kingdom can be our first realities. Help us, Lord, to daily agree with that, that whatever we see, come what may, what we see first is what you see, and that our first response and our first action would be what you would do, what you want us to do as your children. And so, Lord, I just pray for a release of your Holy Spirit on this church and in each one of the people that are here. I thank you for the heart you have for Cambridge through River of Life Church. And I pray for the individuals that make up River of Life Church for a greater sense of sonship, a greater sense of being your children, a greater sense of your kingdom, a greater sense of your economy, a greater sense of the resources of heaven that are available for us to share with the world around us. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. And may who we are be defined by that. In Jesus' name, amen.